Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Today we have a super fantastic guest, Jinad Ahmed. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I will have him on in a moment. Jinad Ahmed is a candidate for Illinois 8th Congressional District. He's bringing the people's voice to the Congress, which we need. He is a person that's, as I'm going to say, from the streets to the suites. He is a father, husband, small business owner, community activist running for Congress to transform our country so it actually works for everyday people like you and me, not corporations. Let me open up this mic. Good morning, Jinad, and welcome to In the Know with Mo.
Good morning, Maureen. Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's looking at my board, everyone in the world is happy that you're on here. We have people from all over, not just from Chicago and the Southland, but from Ohio, Cincinnati, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma. They're from all over tuning in because you are, as I said earlier, from the streets to the suite, making a difference in the lives of. My question to you is, why did you decide to run for Congress?
Maureen, first of all, I can't tell you how excited I am, and talking to everyone across the nation here. That is awesome. Hello, everyone. My name is Jinad Ahmed. Like many Americans, I come, just like most of you, I come from a very pretty humble background. My parents migrated here to the United States to pursue a better life for our family. You know, my dad worked two jobs, and my mom, you know, took care of us at home, and they worked hard. They worked really hard to get us to a point to make sure that we stay straight, we stayed. And we focused in our lives. Myself, I started at the City College of Chicago. I went to Truman College. There's a lot of people here from Chicago, so my first classes I started at Truman College. Then I transferred to DePaul, where I worked full time, pretty much my junior year, my senior year, full time work, full time college. And just worked hard, got through college, and got a full-time job. And after that, a few years working in the corporate America, I left, and then I started my own business. And fast forward to about 2013, 14, you know, I kind of started looking at, a lot of developed nations across the country. They had health care. We do not have health care as a basic human rights in this country. And that kind of started raising questions. When I had to take my son to the hospital once several years ago, we had to deal with, and I had a full insurance, mind you. We got a bill close to $10,000. And to me, that's unacceptable. Like, why am I paying, as a small business owner, my own insurance, about $24,000, $25,000 a year, and then still have to pay $10,000 in copays. that kind of started, raising questions in my mind. And my own student debt, my wife's student debt, believe it or not, we paid off later part of 2020. I mean, literally, I got four kids right now. My beautiful wife, Shireen, and she went to college. We paid off over college debt about less than 2 years ago. So all of this is the background. I've been thinking, hey, what can we do to make things better in America? So I got involved, several years ago in fighting for a respectable minimum wage, fighting for Medicare for all, like where healthcare is treated as a basic human right. I've been an activist for social justice, for immigration rights, to bring Medicare for all that works for the people. And I know in 2016, when we saw the incumbent running here, Raja Krishnamurthy, I supported him because he seemed to be the guy who would support all these policies. Fast forward 2018, we kind of figured that he's actually not fighting for us. He's instead taking all the money from pharmaceutical industries, healthcare industry, and defense contractors, and he ain't fighting for me. He ain't fighting for you and I. He is fighting for the corporations
he's
taking all that money from. And at some point, we decided. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, because doing my research on both of you guys, on all the candidates that are running, you have no money, none. And you can't compete with the money that he has. He has close to $12 million in his little pocket for campaigning in the election. My question to you, because you don't have that money, and it's hard for you to compete with a person that has that thinking, will you take money from corporate PACs and special interests just to get on the ballot, just to run for office? Will you take money?
I absolutely will not. As a matter of fact, we have taken a note that we will not accept any money from any special interest corporate PACs. So the short answer is no, we will not. That's a fundamental issue that we have with the current political system. The incumbent and for that matter, for everybody else, it's that issue. If you take corporate money and the special interest money out of our politics, we will have a much thriving, better economy that works for the people.
And you know what? We talked about Medicare for all, and I'm going to throw my friend girl, my traveling sister's name out here, Martise Chisholm. She travels around the nation, around the world, speaking for Medicare for all, and she supports you. I mean, she loves the work that you do because her whole heart is in Medicare for all, and Medicare for all is needed. But I see that your opponent, it's not for Medicare for all. Does he not think that because you are better financially situated that you don't need Medicare for all? What's your thinking on that? Do you think?
Yeah, no. First off, a shout out to Martise. I have so much respect for her. I love the sister. I love organizing with her. I love, being out in the streets with her. Protesting and asking for Medicare for all, none but respect for Sister Martise here. So yes, thanks for the shout out. And to the second part of your question, the incumbent, Raja Krishnamurthy, he has taken a lot of money, hundreds of thousands, in the ballpark of about $450,000 that he has taken from just the healthcare industry. So as much as he and other politicians may be talking about implementing a healthcare system and implementing healthcare system that works for all, at the bottom of it, at the core of it, that is a system that's for pharmaceutical industries. And then people, you and I, come second. Their profits come first. The healthcare comes second.
I have a question here from Sharon from Chicago. You mentioned student loans. I paid to go to college. Now I'm working to pay the student loan back. What or do you have any plans to help reduce or rid these outstanding student loans?
I fully support eliminating student debt. I think that's good for the people. It is good for our economy. It is going to, you know, open the doors for the question being asked here. It's going to allow our 20-somethings to actually think about starting a family, to actually think about, you know, owning a home instead of constantly worrying about, you know, paying back student debt. That is good for economy. That's good for America. That's good for people. Yeah, so I'm going to be fighting to eliminate the student debt.
Well, I know, you know, one thing I appreciate you saying is that you're going to be fighting for. You're not making any fake promises. You're not making any promises where some of the candidates I have had on have come on and said, I'm going to do. You're saying I'm going to fight, which is a big difference. So I just want, I mean, part of your agenda is not just for Medicare for all, but college for all, the Green New Deal. Can you explain the Green New Deal to our listening audience?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the New Deal is not a new concept. Actually, it's almost a century old concept. Back in 1930s, we had a New Deal to evolve and have an economy that works for the 20th century. At the time, we had major investment in infrastructure, major projects that set us up and maintained our global leadership status, and that got us through this time. What we're saying now, when we say Green New Deal, a green economy, what we mean is we need a new deal that is going to set us up success in the 21st century, that is going to set us up as a, you know, continue to keep us as a global leader, that is just not focusing on growth, but they're focusing on growth, which is going to be green in nature. And that is not going to, you know, have negative impact on our environment. That's, in a nutshell, that's what it is.
And you speak about immigration reform. I'm a retired bilingual teacher in the city of Chicago, and several times I've had ICE to come into my classroom because my population were all from Jalisco. And, I mean, I sat there without able to do anything and watched them take some of my students out, handcuff them with their hands behind their back because they were brought over here illegally. And then I said, as a teacher, I'm advocating for my students. But then there was nothing I could do as a teacher as I watched them take my students out. But then I said, well, I'm also an elected official. And I went to fight. I end up getting the students that were transferred back to Jalisco, back to Chicago, back in the class with the visa. And I'm in touch with these students today. They're grown now. But the immigration reform, can you speak on that? Because something has to be done.
Yeah. No, first, I am a son of an immigrant. I am an immigrant myself. So I firmly, strongly believe that we need to have this nation, and it's built on immigrants, and that's who we are as a nation. What we're saying is, look, ICE did not exist prior to, 2004 or so. So the bottom line here is we need to have policies that respect human dignity. We need to have policies that respect human beings for who they are. Now, I'm not saying, you know, just let the, you know, criminals go around and all that, because that's the first argument that I always hear back when I say, we got to respect immigrants and have a policy. A thriving economy would come from the right balance of immigrants that we have. And I'll tell you what I am fully against. There is an ICE detention center here in McHenry County. We have been fighting to shut that down. And the irony of that, the ICE detention center, is there is an elementary school across the street. And there's potentially parents in the building where the kids are maybe going to that, that elementary school. That is a situation that's pretty bleak, pretty sad. And that mom and that dad They are behind those bars for no crime of their own, except they're dreaming for a better life. They are here undocumented.
Yeah.
I do not believe they need to be behind bars for that crime. I believe there needs to be a path to citizenship for everyone who is here. Give them, a path where and they can work here legally. They become tax-paying citizens, and basically, it's a simple policy that works for the families, that works for America, that is good for our economy.
And you know, when ICE was trying to get all the people that were here illegally, I had gone down to the Mega Mall down on 51st and Pulaski, and that's a whole Spanish community. So as I went in there, young man outside the door said, "Buenos dias," and I spoke back to him. We had a regular conversation in Spanish. Then he in turn asked me for my papers, and then that's when I showed him my credentials as an elected official and spoke to him in English. I said, "What you're doing is wrong. You're here because people come into this mall. Some are legal and a lot of them are illegal, but you're setting them up trying to be friendly with them. And then when you find out that they don't have papers, they don't have proper ID, you're handcuffing them." I said, "So I'm reporting you." And, it was like, I'm so sorry. I thought, no, you don't think. Everyone, regardless, is entitled to respect. But that was a set up, that reform, getting rid of ICE must go, because several times I'm mistaken for an Espanol, but it has to stop. So I love the fact that you are a progressive, that you are using grassroots to run. A young man just sent a statement in here. He says, "I've been knowing this brother for years. He is known in the streets for campaigning, for volunteering, for advocating for people suffering from persecution and hate." People love you.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We need those that love Junaid so much. We need you to register to vote. And if you don't live in his district, we need you to get out and help. Now, you have a town hall meeting coming up?
Yes, we have a town hall meeting coming up on March 2nd, this Wednesday. People ask direct questions, any questions. I'd welcome. I really encourage you to join. Let's have that conversation. Look, Maureen, I'll say one thing to that, right? Like you said, from the street to the street, I love it. I'm going to adopt that with your permission.
That's how I address them. I tell them, "Lo siento," from the streets to the suites, I'm here. Are the ones. We are the product of our ancestors that picked cotton. Now what are we doing? We're picking honest, truthful candidates. That's what we're doing now. We're picking the right people to represent us. And you seem to be the right person. But first of all, let me put a disclaimer out, because I am so excited to talk to you and to have you on my show. The disclaimer is that this is not an endorsement on In the Know with Mo, but this is a program of education and information to educate and elevate the minds of all of you that are listening out here, because we have to stop electing people because they give us a couple of dollars, or they let us do a photo op, or they come and say one or two words at our little function. We need people that's going to represent us fairly. And I just want to put that disclaimer out. And the other issue is that this prison reform, the criminal justice system, it's a justice system against just us. And when I say just us, I'm speaking of the black and brown. There are so many sitting in Cook County Jail waiting for trial. They've been in there 5 years waiting for a jury trial. That's unacceptable. So you have a lot on your plate. And I'm going to invite you to come back again, because we need to talk more on how you are able to bring the people's voice to Congress.
No, thank you, Maureen. And yes, we have a lot to talk about. And before we go, Maureen, I want to address the money aspect that you brought up. Yes, we are dealing with someone that has a whole lot of money in his coffers, about $11.5 million to be specific. But let me tell you something. We are running an amazing grassroots campaign, and today we are nation's one of the most the highest fundraisers from grassroots alone as a first-time challenger. So far, we have raised about almost $700,000, and that is 100% from people like you and I, zero corporate money. And I tell you what, money does not buy your elections. Money does not vote. People do. So what I'm here for is to ask that grassroots support, people who live within the district or close to the district, if they can come and volunteer for the campaign. That's one ask I have. And those who cannot come and volunteer, if they are in another city, just too far from the district to come here, you know, a little bit of help here, a dollar, you know, a $2, a $3, a $27, JuneForCongress.com, that will go a long way. That will strengthen our corporate platform that we have, our, you know, non-corporate platform, a grassroots campaign, a grassroots platform that we have will go a long way. So that would be my ask.
Yes, yes. And for those, I have a question here. Your town hall meeting that you're having on March 2nd, how can we see it? Is it going to be virtual or is it going to be in person?
Right now, we're keeping it virtual. Still, we are going to change it to in-person very, very soon. But this Wednesday, this Wednesday coming up, it is going to be virtual. If you go to JuneForCongress.com, under the events page, you will find the link.
Okay, so that's March 2nd for the virtual town hall meeting, and I understand you're having a fundraiser March 5th.
Yeah, there's a small fundraiser in the district coming up on March 5th as well.
Mm-hmm. We might as well put it all out there.
Put it all out there.
Yeah. I have a question about I just missed the question. Someone has sent me a question, and now they're taking it back off. Okay, well, it's a good thing. Well, I realize you don't have all the answers, and that doesn't matter, but any politician who says, I'm going to tell you frankly, I'm going to make this, I'm going to do this, they're just what? Lying to us. They're bamboozling us. So, you know, politics is a team sport, and as you would say, together we can identify and implement the solutions to the challenges we face as a nation. And we face a lot of challenges. We face a lot. And even though you don't have money, you are talking to the people. Money doesn't win elections, as you say. What does? Talking to every voter who would listen, hearing them and asking them to hear you. And then that's when collectively you are take up the arms and make a difference. Now, the 8th District, what area, what communities does that cover, the Illinois 8th Congressional District?
There are about 32 suburbs in the district. It starts from the northwest side of Chicago. There are a few houses from the city of Chicago. Starts northwest of that, goes from Des Plaines, going west, into Schaumburg area, Hoffman Estates, up north to South Barrington. Keep going west, you get Elgin, all the way west to Gilbert's. We go to the cornfields, and then Carpentersville, Dundee, south to South Elgin and parts of St. Charles. In the middle, you got Bloomingdale, Roselle, Glendale Heights to the south, and parts of Addison. So just northwest part of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Here is a question from Joe. Joe is from downstate. He says, recently I was in Peru, Illinois, just driving through. I'm African American. I went there to witness or to see the place where the young man was found floating in the river. Peru, Illinois, like so many other cities I'm finding out, is a sundown town. If you are elected or when you're elected, what type of changes can you implement to rid sundown towns? So a sundown town, for those that are listening, it's a town where when the sun goes down, they expect all black and browns to be off the street. They are not And Peru, Illinois is one of those towns, and they're listed. So my listening audience, I would like for you to Google sundown towns, and you'll be surprised to see how many sundown towns are still in effect, whether they are implemented with the charges or not, but it's still on the books. So I think that's some legislation that needs to be changed. But that's the question from Joe.
No, thank you. Thank you, Joe, for that question. You know what? That policy sucks. And
yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. This is something that needs to be taken out. And in the federal capacity, I don't know what powers the federal office would give me. But I'm going to have to do some more research on that. But
mm-hmm.
in essence, in theory, I completely do not agree with that policy. I'm going to have to see what a federal office can do to make those happen. That's just got to change. That's my immediate gut response to it. It just cannot be in place. Why can I, if I'm going in Peru, Illinois, I cannot be out after sunset just because I'm a brown man?
Yeah.
My black brother and I cannot walk on the street after sundown?
Yes. Sundown towns. Yes. So that's some work for you to look into, and also look into some legislation for sex trafficking. People don't realize the reports from the Super Bowl, there were so many people arrested during the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is the time when the pimps and the, I'm going to say it for real, pimps, prostitutes, hoes, and hoedowns are at the Super Bowl, and sex trafficking is very large. And you'd be surprised at the big ball of shot callers that are at the Super Bowl and out with the sex trafficking luring young girls and young men. It's not about girls anymore. It's about young men, too. You know, so sex trafficking has to be somewhere on the list of all the work that you have to do. We have a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do. And I tell you one thing, Maureen. I will, like you said early on, I will never claim to know everything. There are certain things that I know, and I'm fighting for it. The things that I do not know much about, I'm going to continue to learn. I'm going to continue to talk to people and just make that positive change that we need to make this nation a better place. And to specific, talking about sex trafficking, first and foremost, I think we need to figure out a way to rescue and restore these victims. That is just, oh my God, that's heartbreaking. That young girl and the young boy, what are they going through in their lives? And on the richest nation on the planet, we allow all of those things to happen. Completely unacceptable. I think every elected official, it does not matter what office they're holding, a federal office, a local office, a county office, a state office, I don't care what office you're holding. They need to come together to make, protect these people. And we need to come together to bring these criminals to justice and strengthen our justice systems where everybody feels safe, black, brown, white, everybody feels comfortable with a criminal justice system. And this is something, it doesn't matter. I think regardless of what office you're holding, people need, elected officials have to come together and make this happen.
Well, I want to thank you for being my guest of In the Know with Mo. As you can see, we are at the end of our program. But I want to thank you for being live on In the Know with Mo. So today, Ahmad spoke about his agenda, Medicare for all, college for all, Green New Deal, immigration reform, strengthening democracy, and so much more. So I want to thank you for being my guest on In the Know with Mo, and I wish you all the best of luck. Stay focused and be blessed.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to In the Know with Mo. My guest was Junaid Ahmad, candidate for Illinois 8th Congressional District. He's someone you should know. Most of you know him because he's been fighting for your rights and everyone's rights.
Now, this could only happen to a guy like me. And only happen in a town
like this. Stay
focused
and be blessed.
So may I say to each of you, most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss. This is my kind of town, Chicago is.